So, Tom, we have now reports of quantitative ER now as part of Oncotype. Is that something that you're looking at, that you're thinking about?
Well, it's reported now in the report.
But, I mean, are there situations where it might change what you do?
Well, I would say not. The decision has to be made is, do we give hormone therapy or do we not give hormone therapy? Do we give chemotherapy or do we not give chemotherapy? And if it's ER positive, we're going to give hormone therapy. So then the decision is, do you give chemotherapy or not? And to make that decision, you're really using the whole Oncotype recurrence score.
I think at the very least, what it provides, having information, is greater transparency. Because before, what you had was just a number. And the number means something when the score is very high or very low. But when you have a mid-range recurrence score, that's where we struggle. And if you had the information regarding the ER-PR, and you see that the ER and PR is high, as a clinician, you'll feel more confident in recommending to that patient, I think you'll be okay with endocrine therapy alone.
That's interesting.
So I think
in the intermediates.
I think it would be more helpful in the patients who have the intermediate score, because we already know from a great deal of experience what happens at the extremes. The problem with this assay is, what do you do with the people in the middle? And the proportion of patients who can have a mid-range score, no matter how you define it, can be anywhere from 45% to 70%, depending upon how you select your patients. The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and so I think every clinician can make their own judgment. But again, I think it does provide a greater level of transparency and one that can help clinicians and patients make more informed decisions about picking a specific therapy.
Neil, I think that the value of that additional information, it also depends on the setting that you practice. The beauty of Oncotype DX could be, in many ways, as it has been said before, it could be a centralized way to provide high-quality, grade ER-PR testing. And at least I would like to believe that where I practice, at least I have good quality ER-PR testing. And my anecdotal observation, since I started, I do order Oncotype on a relatively frequent basis for various reasons. And when I do, and I've been observing the ER-PR results are coming back, they tend, you see that graph where they have the what's considered a positive above a level, and you would assume that near the lower threshold, we would correlate with a weak ER, to the right side correlates with a high ER. The values that I observe with traditional immunohistochemistry in my place, in my hospital, does correlate quite nicely with the location of the ER by RT-PCR as provided by Oncotype.
I think what has been found is that the value of chemotherapy is better predicted by the recurrence score as a whole, whereas the value of hormonal therapy is better predicted by looking at just the estrogen receptor. So that in the intermediate range, I think I would still use the recurrence score as a whole along with whatever else
which
we
means
use
you're
to
up
make
in the
a
air.
Decision. As Antonio said, though, I think it does serve as a check on your own lab. I haven't had one come back ER negative by RT-PCR yet, but if that were to start happening, then
I heard of a case, one of our Meet the Professor cases was that.
Yeah.
It was a patient who got Oncotype sent, and GH turned around and said, this is ER negative.
Well, it happens 3% of the time in the commercial experience.
I'm sure some of those discordances are true biology. There's no reason to think they're errors.
True biology.
You mean heterogeneity?
No. RNA doesn't equal protein.
Versus,
and, just the post-translational modifications and regulation of protein expression and so on for ER, there happens to be, as you just said, a pretty good correlation. There are examples for other genes and other proteins where the correlation between the transcript and the protein are very poor.
Neil, and in this case that you just described, the ER by immunohistochemistry, was it repeated and confirmed? And if was it showing on the high end or on the low end? I think those are the questions that I would have if that scenario would happen.
The discordances would worry you, but they might be true, and repeating would be one way to provide a level of confidence.
Neil, just to go back to the question that was discussed, I think what Tom said I agree with was the decision for chemo on the Oncotype is primarily driven by the recurrence score overall, and the recurrence score has the ER built into it, right, and grade and other things. That's how the recurrence score is composed of. So the real question is, I don't think that the decision to give chemo in the intermediate recurrence score category should be influenced by the ER.
What about choice?
But the choice of endocrine therapy and maybe the choice of type of endocrine therapy, you could argue, might be. And I think that's
what
Joe
way?
Was saying.
How would you draw that out?
I would sort of take the opposite view in that if I have someone with a mid-range recurrence score who, we know that there's a continuous relationship between recurrence score and benefit from chemotherapy. The higher the score, the greater the benefit. What we don't know is at what threshold do you not benefit from chemotherapy. That's what we don't know. We know at what point you start to benefit, but we don't know the lower boundary. So for the 40 to 70% of patients where we do get that mid-range, I would have a lot more confidence on relying on endocrine therapy alone if I'm in that mid-range, if I have a higher level of ER and or PR expression.